This program was funded by the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland with the television licence fee.
Welcome along to episode 4 of Y'all a Rugby Stronghold. In the final part of the series, we celebrate some of the former Y'all players who've gone on to play for Munster, Ireland, and indeed other major rugby teams. We also hear from the Y'all man who's a part of the medical teams at Munster, Ireland, and the British and Irish Lions. Eddie O'Sullivan became coach of the Irish national rugby team in 2001. During a spell of just over 6 years, he led Ireland to 3 Triple Crowns, and he also guided the team to third place in the world rankings. He is one of the country's most successful coaches. Going back to his childhood, the Y'all native had played soccer, Gaelic games and a whole host of other sports, but it was rugby that held the most appeal. This may have been influenced by his family's connection to the sport, or indeed by a young Eddie witnessing former Ireland captain Tom Kiernan practicing his place kicking at Frogmore during his time working at Y'all Carpets. Eddie entered the underage ranks in Y'all in the 1960s, and he would later take to the field with Y'all's second team at the age of just 15. He lives and breathes rugby, and the path to a hugely successful career was paved here in Y'all.
It had a massive impact, obviously, because I started playing rugby there. I remember way back in the day, a lot of people wouldn't remember this, but the GAA ban was in place. I remember playing a soccer match, of all things, on a Sunday over in, I think it was Ardmore or something like that, being suspended from the school football leagues the following week by the Christian Brothers. And that pushed me towards rugby a little bit. I remember at the time, you all used to use the Hearns, the captains as they call it, as their changing rooms and stuff like that. They had showers at the back, and I used to keep all the rugby balls there. I used to go up there because they couldn't play in the football leagues after school. I used to go up to Hearns and I'd get a ball, and I'd go down to what was called the Fair Green, which is where I live in Dominic Collins there. There was an area where all the school leagues used to be able to kick a rugby ball down there. Also, I have huge influence from my uncles that played with Y'all Rugby Club, Liam and Bernard Coveney. They played regularly with Y'all at the time, so I used to go and watch them. I remember because, as I said, they used to change in Ahearns and drive up to the club. There was no clubhouse at the time in Frogmore. And myself and Kieran, my brother Kieran, we used to go up with them, but there was very little room in the cars. There was this pile, 4 or 5 fellas into a car, and they used to put us in the boot of the car and lock us in, bring us up the hill, and then leave us over at the boot and watch the game and bring us back down again the same way. So I grew up with that, you know, watching the games and watching my uncles playing. And then they started the underage rugby in Y'all, which was way ahead of its time. They're talking about the mid-60s, and when there wasn't really any underage rugby in clubs. There was certainly schools rugby, and the schools like Presentation and CBC Cork and Rockwell and all that, but there was very few clubs having underage rugby section. And the two guys I remember back then who kind of were at the front of it were Brendan Kelly, B. Kelly, and Brendan Murphy, who was a baker in Y'all. And they started bringing us up after school, and there must have been 30 or 40 kids up there. Now, I remember they had the special small size ball for us. It was like a size 3 ball, because we were all on the underage boat, I think about 8 or 9 at the time. And we played up there, a couple of afternoons a week. And it was full-on rugby. There wasn't much structure to it other than that we played against each other. And at the time, it was no mini rugby. It was 15 a side. So there was 8 in the scrum. Like, it was fairly full-on. And at the time, I used to play hooker. And my brother Kieran played hooker as well. But we used to have to play against each other. We stood on clumps out of each other. And I remember my mother, a lot of us are going to Brendan Murphy and saying, look, you better find 2 different positions for him. So they put Kieran at 9, they put me at 10, and that's why I ended up playing in the backs, really. Probably started other hooker bringing it up at our half. But that was back then, it was, you all was ahead of his time. And then, you know, you had the Hogan brothers, Sean and Jim Hogan became involved. They became more structured then. We went into under, from kind of under 12 and 14 up to under 16, and Sean and Jim were involved in that. Mick Healy had a huge influence in it. And then Eddie Bullman got involved, and it kind of been going on from there. I remember playing my first Munster Junior Cup match at fullback for y'all. I think I was about 16 at the time. I had done my leaving cert. So, you know, so y'all basically put me on the pathway to rugby. There's no doubt about that in any way, shape or form.
Eddie, when you left y'all, you went on to play for Gary Owen, Munster, and indeed Ireland A. But did you almost always feel that you were destined to be a coach?
Not really in the early days. I suppose the fact that I became a teacher, particularly a PE teacher, always kind of pushed in the direction of coaching, you know, because of about imparting information. So once I started going to college in UL, which is at the time was Thomond College, I was studying physical education and maths. But I still used to come back to UL and play on the weekends my first 2 years, 2 years in college. And then through a connection with Tony Ward, who was in college with me, he asked me to come and join Gary Owen, and that was when I left y'all and went to Gary Owen. I remember at the time, I think the club was pretty proud that one of his players, you know, had come through the under-8 section, graduated into the first team, and then was going off to play with a senior club, you know. And, you know, the other guys in the club that went on, obviously, played senior rugby at the time. The other guy was Johnny Fitz, was playing with Dolphin. He'd been in the cadets in the army. So, you know, it was reasonably unusual at the time. We've seen a lot of that since now, players going on to senior rugby, but they all did, as I say, got me on the road. And then the coaching side of it wasn't until I started teaching and playing that I kind of got interested in coaching. And I started coaching in my 20s, even when I was still playing with Gary Owen, but I'd moved to Galway at that stage, and I started coaching rugby in a club called Munavay. And that's where I started coaching. But I was a coach and a player, albeit coaching in Munavay and playing in Gary Owen in my early 20s, because at the time I was basically trying to get capped for Ireland, you know, do that pathway where I got on the Munster team and hopefully the Irish team. Never got to the Irish team. I got to Ireland A step away, but never made it through to the full cap. But I played for Munster a number of times. And, you know, the club were very proud of that as well. I think my Munster jersey is up in the club still. I think my Ireland A jersey might be there as well. So, you know, I've never lost my connection with y'all. It's interesting, because I was playing with Gary Owen, and when I started breaking into the Munster team, the media, like we mentioned in newspapers at the time, always assumed you were from Limerick because of playing with Gary Owen. So I always had to remind him I was from Yall, not from Limerick. I was studying there, and that I was always a Yall man. And even when I became Irish coach, you know, years later, you know, people would assume you're from Limerick, particularly the media from outside Ireland would assume you're from Limerick because they'd see that you played with Munster and Gary Owen. So I had to remind him again that, you know, I played with Gary Owen, and I was a Munster man, but I was from Yall. So that was always important to me.
Eddie O'Sullivan has inspired a generation of y'all rugby players. Some of those who grew up watching Eddie's Irish teams have gone on to establish themselves with senior clubs around the country, while a select few are competing at international level. Christy McCarthy has coached a number of those at y'all RFC.
There's people that went on to do well. You're looking at Claire Cahan, who went on to... she went on to UL then and developed her rugby career from there on. She played for the Irish women's sevens. You had David Callaghan, who went on to play for Irish youths, under Irish under-19s, Irish under-20s, and he played Rabo direct games at senior level with Munster, and a Heineken Cup, of course. You have John Quill then, who's played for Irish under-19s, but he's dual citizenship, so he's also played for USA at the World Cup as well, which is just fantastic, you know.
Dave O'Callaghan is nowadays a senior figure on the Munster panel. He is part of the Munster pack, and despite suffering many injury setbacks in his career, he is enjoying life at the province. I meet Dave as he prepares to return from his most recent injury and ask him, how does he look back on his days playing for y'all?
Yeah, with very fond memories. I think I'm obviously, I'm still friendly with all the guys I would have played with underage, and they'd have been a massive part of my life. And you know, I think we all bonded just playing together all the way up. Some games stick out in the memory. I remember playing Conn down through the years on Sunday as well, and getting hockeyed at times, but some big performances as well. You know, you'd always a great crack, and we were always encouraged to play a bit as well, which was a big thing. I remember you'd McKeely nearly from under eights up till about under 14s kind of way, and he'd always kind of encourage you to throw the ball around and you know enjoy the game. And I think that's kind of where I got my love from the game, from someone like him, Joe, and just all the fellas alongside you as well. You had Brian Hayes as well, who did a bit of time down in Yall and played in France. Obviously John played for the US, you know, he's always reminding me that he's an international and I'm not. So and you've plenty of fellas who played AAL. You had the O'Riordans, who'd played up in Gary Owen. You had Brazlins as well, who would have played there as well. It was kind of a Gary Owen connection with Yall for a while. And yeah, like down through the years there's some very good Yall teams. I know we nearly went, there was a time there we nearly went senior, like we were close to it. And yeah, there was some great players have come through. You'd Garrett Hogan, who's played for the Oil, who's played for the Utes. Plenty of guys who played the Utes. We had a good group underage with Yall, and we just we sort of bought into it, and we didn't really get into weights and all that. It wasn't big when I was playing with Yall, but it was just the enjoyment factor. And I think you know, we probably weren't much good at GA, like, and that was, I remember going through a few growth spurts at the time, so it was all straight into rugby, and you kind of honed your skills a bit, and yeah, it was just the enjoyment thing again, and that's kind of how I kicked on, really.
Dave, what has been the highlight for you from your time playing with Munster?
I think it's probably the first for me. The first time I played Heineken Cup rugby was against Northampton. Like, it was only for 6 or 7 minutes, and it's a while ago now. But yeah, those big games definitely are the moments. I think even Saracens last year with Razzie, Saracens and before, even when we got hockeyed by Saracens a couple of years ago when John Axel was obviously still around, those are the times you remember, the big games. I think coming back from injury a couple of years ago as well and playing Leinster and scoring a try, all those things are the big games, the big days. That's where we want to be, and I think that's what we strive for, like many more of those days. It's obviously a new regime now, and it's different. Like you've obviously another South African guy coming in, Johan van Graan, who in a lot of ways is similar to Razzie, but he's in other ways then he's very different. You know, he's a different approach. He's quite whereas Razzie might have been considered a bit old school in a lot of ways, this guy is kind of more in the Schmidt kind of type. He, you know, very detailed, and I think that suits Irish teams. You know, it's so much attention to detail, his line out knowledge, all this stuff, just nothing's left unturned. And so I'm sure we'll have many more big moments under him, you know.
Crouch. Fine. Set. On the boys.
Ready, 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 ready.
No!
No!
2, 3. No!
2, 3.
No!
Well, 2, 3. That's it.
Obviously, the goal is always to play for Ireland. I know I'm obviously, you know, a good bit down the pecking order at the moment, and the focus is to get back playing regularly at Munster, to get into Munster squads, and a bit of a mountain to climb there. But you know, there's, when you're coming back from injury, you're always looking at it, you're kind of going, geez, this fella, that fella, they're all fit, and all of a sudden there's a few knocks after Christmas, and you're in starting, like, so it can work in weird ways. And just trying to get back fit, get a few games under my belt, and then take it from there. You never know what will happen. It'd be great to get some silverware at Munster, though. I think, like, we've been nearly men now for a few years, and it's you know, it's just time to win something. Really, I've never won something as a professional. You know, I've never won something in my senior career. I've won a BNI Cup, and I've won under 20 Six Nations, that kind of thing. But it'd be great to get some silverware in the next couple of years.
John Quill is another to have started his rugby career in Yall. John, a flanker, has since played for Dolphin and London Welsh, and nowadays he plays his rugby in America, where his mother Eileen hails from. In 2015, John represented the USA on the biggest stage of all, at the Rugby World Cup. I sat down to speak with John on his return home, just weeks after the tournament.
My mum is, she was born and raised in the United States, in in New York, and she moved over. She's over here nearly 30 years now, so she's a full citizen, and I qualify through that as well, both citizenship and for the national team. So that's how I qualify, and I've been over kind of living on and off for the last few years. Lived in Boston for a year after I finished college, and that's kind of where it all started. That was 3 years ago now.
So Boston RFC, wasn't it?
Yeah, Boston RFC, played a few games for them, and had been actually sending over tape prior to that. So they kind of, I was on their radar somewhat before I got over there, and was lucky enough to get into an A's tour, and must have done well enough on that, and it all kicked off from that. It's kind of interesting because I was in the Munster Academy for 3 years during college there, and it was in the setup for even longer, just with youth rugby and stuff like that, and didn't unfortunately get a contract straight out of it.
Right.
It was a pretty competitive time, especially in the back row with a lot of guys that are still in the setup now. So kind of went over after college with my girlfriend, and just to get away from it, actually, which is the funny thing about it, and that's how it all started. I was over there just playing casually enough with the club, and went to a couple of camps, or a couple of training camps more than anything else, and then it kind of kicked off from there, and I kind of relighted my desire to play for the national team and play professionally.
And your international debut for the Eagles came against Russia in 2012.
Yeah, so that was shortly after the first A's tour that I went on. I went straight into the senior tour at the time, and I was lucky enough to get in. I think I played the first three games I was involved in, that's when it started, and it's been a while since then, and a few caps since then, and I've been in and out since then, but it's been a good experience,
yeah.
And definitely building up to the World Cup, and then finally getting some game time in the World Cup was fantastic.
John, it all started for you here in Youghal. What comes to mind when you think back of the days spent training in Frogmore?
I always have good memories of that, to be honest. A lot of my friends that I'm still very friendly with, very close to, would have been playing with me up there from a young age, 6 or 7, running around on the Sunday mornings in the wet. Very enjoyable stuff. But yeah, that's where I would have started. It's funny because it always would have been very competitive teams you all would have had, and a lot of guys that would have played elsewhere for one reason or another have been turned out to be some quality players, like Sir David O'Callaghan,
yes.
Brinkwell, not playing professionally but a quality player, and a bunch of other I can't think off the top of my head now, just friends of mine that I'm thinking of. But yeah, definitely some good players and some great coaches, a lot of guys up there giving a lot of time and effort into youth rugby, and it's great to see, really.
Yeah.
Eddie was just before my time as US coach. I would have been just a little bit too young for the World Cup prior to this one,
sure.
So I just came on the scene there as he was finishing up. So yeah, absolutely, Eddie's done great things in rugby as well.
John, could you put into words what it's like to play in a Rugby World Cup? You made substitute appearances against Scotland and Japan, but there was a starting place for you against South Africa.
The one I started in was probably the most special for me. Obviously, the result wasn't what we hoped, but yeah, it's pretty special when you're listening to the anthems and you're belting out your own anthem and the decent crowds at those games, which has been the case in all the World Cup games pretty much. None of them really were too many seats empty. So
yeah,
and a great venue for that. That one I started in was in the Olympic
against the Springboks, wasn't it?
Yeah. And it was a tough day at the office in terms of the result and some big boys, but it was a great experience. You know what I mean? And it's as you said, tough to match that.
John now plays his rugby with a team called the Glendale Raptors. He came up against another former Youghal player in Ben Mitchell when their respective clubs, the Glendale Raptors and Austin Elite Rugby, met in the opening game of the season in April of 2018. Both players scored tries on the day, with Glendale emerging victorious. John was named man of the match in what was his first professional Major League Rugby appearance. A great photograph has since emerged of Ben tackling John in that game, and it's sure to bring a smile to those who coached the lads at Youghal RFC. there have been many other ex-Yall players who've gone on to achieve a lot in rugby. Former Yall forward Brian Scott lined out for the Barbarians this season, while Claire Cahan has become an established member of the Irish Women's Sevens team, which we discussed in previous episodes. It is also interesting to note the Yall connection to the Munster, Ireland and indeed the British and Irish Lions medical teams. Dave Revens is a massage therapist with the aforementioned sides.
Basically my role with Ireland and Munster would be to all soft tissue work with all the players. That would mean in camp you're there for 8 weeks. Every morning you're on at 7 o'clock with players, and all through the day you finish about 9:30 that evening. Also involved with pitch and whatever else you need to be doing. The role came around with I heard that they were looking for people to do soft tissue and massage with Munster, so I had a client of mine that was in and she was talking about it, so she gave my number in and I got a call to say would I take a couple of the players that week, and the first one in the door was Ron O'Gara, so and then Donegal Callaghan, so that's where it all started from. So I've been there for the last 12 years. The Ireland role came through O'Gara again, I saw it as they went up and they started with them, and that's has been there since. So that's with them again in other parts of the years with Ireland, like, so being the first Irish soft tissue to be on the Lions tour, like, so again that was a real privilege, like, to be involved, and it was an incredible tour, like, so it's just from start to finish, like, you had 16 weeks, like, from when it started, so yeah, it is the highlight of anyone's career, like, to be involved with the Lions tour.
And I think, was there a stint for yourself as well with the Australian team at one stage, was there?
Yeah, well, when they toured here in Ireland, like, they, Alan Gaffney, that was with Ireland and Munster, he was one of the coaches as well, so I got a call up from him, and that happened 2 years in a row, so I've been with them, and also I did a World Championships with Maria Coleman, she was in the Olympics for Ireland in the sailing. You get to see a lot of the world, but you see a lot of hotels that you don't get out of too often. So it's you do. It was being in New Zealand 5 times and Australia 2 times, Argentina. We've been all over the world. It's really a privileged job, like, so, and it's also a privilege to be involved with them. So treating players, getting them back on the pitch, it's just a whole involvement, like, no day that you're in there, like, is the same, like, there's always something going on or someone injured, or this, you know, it's a good environment to be in, like. I don't see what people see, but I get my own buzz out of match day, because you're up at 8 o'clock in the morning, like, and you're have to get all medical kit ready to be for match day. So, like, all strapping and all that, game ready for anyone that gets injured coming off the pitch, and then that sort of. Then you'll see players during the day get ready to travel, then pack the bus. Then you get into the dressing room. Fellas are looking for heat on their back, their legs, and you're doing that flat out before the warm-up. Then you come in from warm-up, and then you have fellas looking either for more heat or giving a hand to get on jerseys and getting them ready to get on the pitch. Then the game starts, and you're involved then with anyone that has to be stitched or any concussions or anything that fellas get in the hospital, that's your involvement for the day. Like, so I don't get to see what people see in the stand. You're totally focused on players during the game and all that's happening then, like, so at the end of the day, into the dressing room, taking strapping off of players, giving them flush outs, make sure they're getting their ice baths, and then you're pack up and go to dinner.
Like Eddie O'Sullivan and Dave O'Callaghan, your career started out in Yall as well, Dave. Could you tell me a bit about that?
my career started out in Yall with the cycling club in Yall, with Pierce Hennessy. He was the first to use me into massage and for sports massage, and you know, that's where my career started actually. They were looking for somebody to go to Cork, and there was lads from the continent over, and they wanted people to learn about sports massage and how the whole setup was, and that's where my career actually started with the Yall Cycling Club. Then as my career went on, the first introduction into Ireland rugby was at a meeting, and who was at the other end of the table? Only Eddie O'Sullivan. And of course, Eddie wouldn't have known me as David, but Dahi. So he was there after the meeting ended, and he said, "Oh my God," he said, "Dahi didn't realise it was you at the other side of the table." Like, so, you know, from then on, like, there's Dave O'Callaghan then came into Munster, and you know, it's always good to see someone from your own hometown as well. I'm always a sports fan. I've always been involved, like, with local GA in Yall as well, like, for a couple of years, and in football, did a lot of cycling, and you know, it's great to be involved in sport for anybody young starting off. Like, it's a great way to get in and socialise with people, and you know, be part of a team and see how a team environment works like. Rugby is a safe game, and like in with Ireland and Munster, safety is a big thing. Concussion, it's really strict with Ireland and Munster. Like, and there's no player put out on the pitch if there's any danger to his health or life or whatever. That there's always a very good guideline, and with Ireland in the family is exceptional like that. Like, that is, you know, doesn't take any risk, and if the player isn't right, they don't go out on the pitch. A lot stands out. I think just even the first Heineken Cup with Munster, that was incredible in Wales. Like, it was, I don't know, it's just magical, like, that time winning that, like, and then winning a Grand Slam with Ireland, like, so it's fantastic. Like, and there's, like, in the Irish setup at the moment, there's just four of us that have four championship medals, and you know, that's a fantastic achievement as well. Like, to where, you know, where I've come from, like, to be told in school that you wouldn't succeed, that you're, you know, just because you have dyslexia, like, that you wouldn't get on in life, like, and you know, I've reached the top of the ladder, like, as regards in where I am at the moment, like, so, you know, and I won't stop until, you know, I love what I'm doing, and that's where I am today.
That concludes Yall, a Rugby Stronghold. We hope you enjoyed this four-part series on the strong tradition of rugby here in Yall. Thanks for listening. Yall, a Rugby Stronghold was presented and produced by Jordan McCarthy, edited by Tom Maher, and the sound engineer was Thomas O'Keefe. A Community Radio Yall production.